Good morning. Today is Thursday, February the 29th, leap year 2024. Dang. Joining us this morning, a guy known for leaping.
Yeah.
Small buildings.
I have not gotten off the ground in quite some
really
time.
Small buildings. Paul Kraft from CHP. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
How many reports of hydroplaning have we had so far this morning?
Yeah, there's been a few. Yeah. we're talking with Winston this morning beforehand, and there's a overturned vehicle on 299 to start the day. No injuries. But
like Blue Lake 299?
Just the beginning. Or like a little further out. Three Creeks. Closer to Willow Creek, I believe.
Three Creeks. Is that like the South Fork or East? What is the East Fork of the Willow Creek?
I don't usually go past Blue Lake myself. I like to stay closer to the office.
You're not a river guy?
No. No, I know it's out closer to Willow Creek, but I'm not sure exactly where.
Three Creeks. I guess most people have a better chance of getting that than a milepost number.
The guys that work out there do.
Well, yeah, you guys do, but not the rest of us. Oh, are you ready for your, what, where is it? Oh, I was close.
Yeah.
West of the, or east of the campground, just outside of Willow Creek.
Pretty close to that.
That's Willow Creek. That's not Blue Lake.
Yeah, it's closer to Willow Creek. Did I say Blue Lake?
Yeah.
It's on 299.
All right, smart guy. You ready?
Yes, let's do it.
Why do paratroop jumpers shout Geronimo when they jump from an airplane?
Not going to know this one. Man, I know I've heard it. I'm not sure the origin.
During the Second World War, Native American paratroopers began the custom of shouting the name of the great Indian chief Geronimo when jumping from a plane because, according to legend, when cornered at a cliff's edge by U.S. cavalrymen, Geronimo, in defiance, screamed his own name as he leapt to certain death, only to escape both injury as well as the military.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. It's kind of like the whole thing with the
bit of wisdom.
Washington Redskins.
You know, yeah.
That family getting, or the tribe getting funding and for using the likeness. And then people decide that that's not what they should be doing, so they take the money away from the Indian tribe.
Can't.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, it's hard to appease everyone with everything and try to do the right things and see.
For the right things for the right reason.
Right.
Yeah. So we have got, I guess, thunderstorms, squalls, and all that kind of stuff coming down, as well as I saw something that indicated 2 feet of snow. Now, I don't know if that's over Barrie or if that's in the foothills.
Yeah, I tried watching some of the weather forecasts and looking at the weather, National Weather Service.
Too boring for you?
Website. It was, yeah.
I mean, you said try.
I tried. So and then I woke up an hour later and like, oh my gosh, how'd that happen? No, it does look inland.
Scintillating TV.
Yeah. He's flipping through. I can't sit on anything longer than 5 minutes. I got to flip through.
You need to watch some of the Robin Williams acts.
It's been a while.
He'll get you. It's on the YouTube thing, so that, you know, it'll get you.
The YouTube thing.
Yeah.
It's just YouTube.
Whatever. You know, and your horse.
Yes. I expect there will be
some.
You
look a lot older than my kids, but your attitude is very similar. Very similar.
Thank you. I'm looking at Winston. He's just like keeping his eyes down and not saying anything. Yeah. I imagine inland. So, yeah, snow. We're going to have some snow up in the hills. They're saying down to 1,000-foot elevation.
In Fickle Hill.
It's very likely.
Yeah.
There was another forecast that showed possible snow like back down to the coast like we had, I think, a year or so ago. Over a year ago.
Oh, you're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Well, if it's on the weekend when I'm not working, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be inside under a blanket anyway, so.
Let's go play.
Watching the YouTube.
That's right, with Robin Williams.
The encouragement, of course, leading into this weekend is to be prepared for it. You know, it's standing water, if nothing else, on the roads. Just coming in this morning, it's just started, and there's already standing water between here and McKinleyville.
Well, there were a couple of pretty good unloads this morning already.
Yeah. Well, I slept through some of that, I think.
Oh. But, that blanket thing that you were referencing?
It was cozy.
Yeah.
But now that my day has started, it may be a long one, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Go slow? Is that kind of the basic premise?
Yeah. You know, we say that every year, but, you know, even in dry weather, slowing down helps reduce your chances of being involved in a crash. But for this type of weather, take your time, leave early to get where you need to be. And if you're going to travel inland, very, very important to prepare for that and have supplies and gear with you, like water, snacks, blankets, have your phone charged, or an extra battery, chains on your vehicle or for your vehicle. If you are going to be heading too far in or think you might hit snow. And then one of our officers spoke to this yesterday in an interview, and I haven't really thought about it before, is not everybody knows how to put chains on. And a lot of us, or a lot of folks may buy them and just throw them in the car and not be familiar with them, make sure they're untangled, and then maybe even practice installing them, because it's not easy. It's fairly easy, but you can make it more complicated if you're not prepared for it. So at least take a look over them when it's wet, cold, dark out there, and you're trying to put those on. It's even more difficult, which would lead to having a flashlight as well. Keep a flashlight in your car with fresh batteries.
You know how I practice putting on chains? Out of the snow.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
I've done it once on one of our patrol cars, and I did not follow any of the advice I just gave and just winged it trying to get those on. It took me a bit in the snow and the dark to get them on, but we got out of there.
Yeah. That's why they make four-wheel drive.
Yeah. They're, you know, go through the chain restriction levels, because if we hit certain levels, the R level that's, and I don't remember the order and I don't have it in front of me, but there is one that even with a four-wheel drive, you may require chains.
It's always awe-inspiring, like going like past Squaw Valley and all those places on 80.
Yeah.
And they have those big wide pullouts for chaining up. And there's like a mile or so long. You know that those things are full this time of the year. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop, sharing memories with Mr. Kraft from the CHP. Oh,
nostalgia.
Yeah. Well, it's just because you're so darn young, you don't have a lot of these
historical
references.
Yeah, 32.
YouTube thing.
The YouTube thing.
I get beat up for...
What's your TikTok handle? I'm just kidding.
It's a single digit.
I don't even know if they call them handles. I don't know.
No, it's a single digit. You can figure it out. No, I think that thing ought to be outlawed.
Yeah.
If it's outlawed in China, where it's from, it ought to be outlawed in America. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So speed is the number one challenge for folks, either with hydroplaning or with snow or in anything during inclement weather?
Absolutely. I'd say we too, but speed and
distraction. Hey, I know about we's, though.
Yeah, that's Freudian, I'm sure. Speed, for sure, and
no, actually, it was Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
The golf game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be weird? If they had video games like Sigmund Freud video game. How weird would that be?
Pretty trippy.
Yeah, but I bet you somebody's working on it.
Well, the VR goggles now, I'm sure they can incorporate
that. Oh, good.
So you
could be in group therapy all by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't mess with your mind.
Just put your headset on. You don't have to go anywhere. You can do everything virtually.
Yeah, except hydroplane.
If we could simulate that and do some practice driving with the students, that would be great. We'll utilize that technology for our benefit.
Where does hydroplaning start? Is it a certain depth
of the water? Northbound 101 at Samoa.
See, you should be watching Williams on YouTube. Is it like a quarter inch of rain on the pavement? Is it an eighth of an inch?
Is it
64th of an inch? Does it have to be thick?
No, it doesn't. I believe the last thing I read was it only takes like a 16th of an inch to create hydroplaning. So it's anything that's above the surface, it reduces the traction of the tires. So then it all comes down to your type of tire also, and then how bald the tread depth, how well they're maintained, your speed as well. So even like a little bump in the roadway, if there's a dip that causes your vehicle to dip and then rise back up, that can bring those tires up. Just that little bit of release of traction from the roadway and a little bit of moisture on the road can facilitate that as well.
Just a little bounce.
So for here, when we start getting rain like this and we already have saturated ground, the water is going to quickly rise up over the roadways. And our common areas are down at Hookton, going southbound at Hookton. The off-ramp
right
there gets
there.
Closed.
Yeah.
And then on Old Arcata Road, a couple sections closer to Arcata. Right around in that area, I believe. We usually end up having to close the roads or put up warning signs for that. Unfortunately, or it has happened the last couple storms that we had, more drivers than I would have expected drove into the water not knowing what they were getting into, and their cars have died on them. Got a little choked up thinking about it. The vehicles.
I thought you were waterlogged, but that's okay.
Yeah. We've had to have extended rescue to get them from the waters. Luckily, it's not in like a running
this
river.
This is on Old Arcata?
The last two I recall were Lolita area. One was out.
Wait a minute, Lolita? I missed that flood.
Yeah.
If it's in Lolita.
What do you call it when you go out? West
out
there,
towards Cannibal Island,
out towards that way. So some of the
down in the Dairylands.
Yes, correct.
Okay,
and then at Hookton. So at Hookton, someone, at least one, probably more than one, tried to drive through the standing water, and vehicles didn't make it, and they become stranded out there, and it takes a little effort. You know, it's not necessarily life threatening because they could probably get out and walk out, but with a little bit of assistance, and especially if it's someone that's maybe elderly or has a disability that prevents them from being able to just walk out from there, it's even more of an issue to get to them in a timely manner. So it does stretch resources to places where they could be focused somewhere else.
With the construction, or I guess the threat of construction at Indianola, not a lot of action there lately. I would like to think you guys are probably going to have a couple more officers out there. One of the things that I have noticed, and I do not use it that often, but when I do, most aren't slowing down now going through there because it's engineered so that it's still safe enough. But the pavement patterns are different. Even if it's a drizzly day, there's some puddling that goes on. So I would imagine now there'd be a lot of concern. Plus, you've got those. Was it K-rail, T-bar, whatever those things are? I've seen them on YouTube.
You talk about the concrete ones?
Yes.
Like a K-rail.
Concrete.
concrete rails, K-rails.
Yeah, that kind of narrows the lane also.
And what we see in some of the crashes that have happened there are incidents of distraction, and someone drifts over. It does not take much movement to hit that rail. Then you're bouncing off into another car. Or even with some of the high winds that we've had, pushing vehicles, and it's narrow through there. And that's why there's a reason that the speed limit is reduced through there. Now, we've done everything we can with the resources we have to get bodies out there, to have officers spend as much time as they can in that area, because it's a high visibility, it's a high chance of danger to the workers that are out there. And the amount of crashes and incidents that we've had, amount of calls that we get for speeding through the area. So we're really trying to hit it as best we can and be as visible as we can there.
Incidents of distraction. I like that. A little bit more all-encompassing.
Add that to the lexicon.
Yeah. We'll work on it. We'll work on it. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the CHP. Is Larry still around?
He is.
It's been almost a year and a half now, and we have yet to see his smiling face in here.
My goal was to, originally, Officer Clevenger from Garberville was going to fill in today. He has to work patrol because they need some help down there.
Well, I figure with the weather, he's probably...
Yeah.
Active.
Yeah, I'm sure that they are.
Yeah.
But next month, you may get Lieutenant McCandless in here. She may come up and visit you next month.
You're being very coy with this.
I almost said speaking
captain, slowly.
I know she's the commander
there,
so I did catch myself.
Okay.
But you know what? She's a captain in my heart, though.
Kiss, kiss.
Yeah. One of the best human beings I've ever worked for with. Yeah, no, she's great. And hopefully she does get a chance. Larry also wants to come in. We just haven't, with his schedule and those meetings and stuff that he's had, he wasn't able to come today either. I offered to him because I really didn't want to come in again, but just kidding. I did try to see if he wanted to come in with me, and he just wasn't available today.
Yeah. Wind, does that set a different set of challenges for you guys and gals?
Oh, yeah.
More than, I mean, rain, you see it, you can anticipate it. Wind with the gusty and some vehicles, not that I drive like a Corvette or something.
Yeah.
But if you're down low, you know, one of the low and wide cars probably aren't impacted too much versus driving a commercial truck, you know, where you're up and you've got that whole wind drag coefficient.
Oh, sure.
Do you run into many people that are unfamiliar with their vehicles in wind?
We do get calls for that. And I notice that working in the office and seeing the call log throughout the day, well, I know when we have high winds, we'll do get calls of what we call 23-103 reports or reckless driver reports. Tends to be semis that are probably being blown around by the wind and not necessarily drunk or driving reckless intentionally, but being blown around. For us and like weather like this, the biggest factor with the wind is the debris, tree branches and poles and trees themselves that get blown down with the root systems giving way or...
You're saying tall, skinny trees, not telephone poles.
All the above. Poles as well. We have some old infrastructure that... From time to time, the poles will come down, or they get hit by a car that went off the road and come down, but not necessarily wind caused. Majority of it is going to be the large branches and then trees along the side of the road. Now, for the last few years, and I think we've talked about this before, after that ice storm that really, let's say, wiped out all the trees and the debris, the problems we had on 299, 96, since that time, I know there's been heavy work done on clearance to the edges of the roadways throughout the county.
Just to widen it out.
And it's very apparent to me that this year there has been a difference in the amount of debris that's been on the road.
And with the number of calls.
And that's just a personal observation from the time that I've been here. The calls for that debris in the road of branches and trees, it seems very reduced compared to previous years.
Yeah, so it's been effective. Cool to do a comparative.
Yeah.
A five-year trend versus, or I guess maybe a year six to year one and then compare last year to it. Just, I mean, if nothing it would else, be great, good news.
A call like that is hard to track because it's, you know, a lot of those would just come into a dispatch and be like debris in the road that gets cleared and it's not a log that requires retention over a certain amount of time. So I
so might don't be, have records.
Yeah, we may not have even responded to it because, let's say, a bad storm, heavy winds overnight, and there could be 15 calls for 1125 or a debris or a hazard in the roadway. And we get to one or two because it's a tree down, and we sit there for an hour or two waiting for it to get cut up and cleared. So realistically, we couldn't really track all those calls.
Or if Caltrans beat you to the punch.
Well, a lot of the times,
And it's, there's nothing there.
Well, that's a great point, too. And I know you talked to Caltrans from time to time here that during this weekend, for sure, they're out with added crew, 24-hour coverage, blades, sand, all the equipment tools that they need to help keep the roads open, and they're great assistance to us in maintaining the open and safe roadways too.
I'm sure.
We definitely
Tom
work together to
Public
do that.
Works are out there doing the same.
And exactly. Yeah. So not to leave them out, they do that too.
So in situations like this weekend, will your folks go off the beaten path to try to help augment, let's say, the sheriff or local PD? Have everybody out as widespread as possible rather than worrying about everybody kind of staying in their lane?
We do tend to overlap, but I'm pretty sure that the call volume for each agency will probably keep their personnel busy. But primarily, you'll see us in the Sheriff's Department interacting and responding to each other's calls, especially if it's like when someone gets lost or stuck up in the hills, or if there's like the more remote areas with a slide or tree down, the first one that can get there is usually the best one to get there. So,
yeah, I think it was your folks. Today's Thursday, maybe Monday, out on Samoa Boulevard, a vehicle had gone over the tracks, the old railroad tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Over the berries, and we're in the farmer's. It was in the farmer's field.
I recall seeing that log. I'm not sure how it got there. And what
that's
the
what I was
going to
ask you.
That.
What? Yeah. You know, is this a runaway cow that jumped in the car and drove it that way? Because it didn't appear like there was an access trail. You know.
Yeah.
The broken berries or that kind of thing.
I haven't followed up on that yet. Maybe I can explain that one away next month. It's not.
It was kind of impressive somebody could get there.
It was pretty far out. Yeah. And like somebody picked it up and dropped it out there.
Yeah. It was just different, significantly different. Enough.
I'll look into that one.
I bet you will. KINS. You wonder why these folks don't show up here, huh?
No.
It's 8:41.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. So, snow, you'd mentioned hail earlier, and I know a lot of folks who have spent time in other climate zones in the country laugh at how we attempt to maneuver in hail. And you had said earlier, what, a 16th of an inch roughly is enough for the water to allow for hydroplaning if you have normal tires and normal rig and all that kind of stuff. Hail, you don't need anything. Hail is hail.
Like a bunch of little ball bearings or marbles on the ground.
Yeah. That's. I would think that that's probably the most concerning thing for you guys and gals is hail.
Well, it makes me a little nervous and hair on the back of my neck will stand up a little when it starts to melt. We seem to get that fairly frequently with the cold air and the moisture that we have, the way our climate is here on the coast.
Yeah, the up and down, up in the high levels.
Yeah.
It drops.
Fog and hail are just two things that when I moved here, I didn't know I'd experience so much of. But Yeah, we get a fair amount of that.
Hail is just try not to drive, period, or goes super slow. That's one. That's that. I think is in hindsight. That I think is the only time I really have seen almost everybody go super slow.
Yeah,
is when there's hail.
They respect that.
Yeah, there's an understanding, or maybe you try to turn and it doesn't respond. The vehicle doesn't respond the way it normally does. And
well,
20 or 25 is not uncommon.
Talking about turning too, and not just on the standing water, but especially with hail or sleet, and you don't want to make sharp, sudden movements of steering, and you don't want to slam on the brakes aggressively either. Like, let off the gas and slow naturally without any sudden movements. That's going to be the safest way to reduce your speed. And if you feel like it's not safe for you to drive right there, you know, getting off to a safe location, a wide shoulder, a turnout, or an exit, and wait for that system to pass through and then continue on.
Go slow, be smart.
Yes.
No.
Easier
that might be
done.
Asking too much. Go slow and don't be stupid.
Yeah.
I think that's an easier bar for some folks.
I think a majority of the people are going to figure that out and are good at that, but it's the minority that give us all the work that we do.
Yeah,
sure.
One or two can. Do you have concerns about the multiple car, you know, the bump, 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 bump? Everybody's going slow and here comes some clown.
Well,
and it hit one, and then now you've got the domino theory in full force.
That's why it would be great to have everyone on the same page with the same driving behavior, because you're going to have two or three cars that slow down for the hazard ahead, and these are the calls that we end up responding to for crashes, because number four in the stack is going fast and driving 65 in a 65, but the conditions warrant maybe 55, 50 as your speed, and then the accidents happen. It's just another factor that happens. So that's why we try to educate as many people as we can to get everyone on the same page. And we know it's an uphill battle, but platforms like this and you allowing us to share that message are great. Our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram stuff, sharing those messages there. And then specifically for me, talking to the high school classes and getting to these students that are just about to drive or starting to drive. Teaching this when they're young so they carry it with them is important as well.
I thought you were going to talk about the YouTube thing being successful.
And then my YouTube-y channel that I do the moving picture presentations.
Yeah. Have you seen, intuitively, less reports on collisions, accidents, connections, of people walking across 4th and 5th and Broadway? You know, all this interruption, these bulb out things, which are so delightful for so many of us.
Right.
On 4th and 5th, you got the flashing walk zone thingy on Broadway. Is it making a demonstrable impact?
I can't really speak to that. I haven't seen the numbers on it, and especially being in the city.
But that's your jurisdiction,
not necessarily
right?
Here.
4 or 5 in Broadway?
For fatalities, we used to take those. I believe Eureka has taken over the handling of all the calls through the city at this point. I'd have to defer back to our agreement with them. There was a time where we took all major injury or fatal crashes through there, and I can't remember if that reverted back to them or not. But aside from that, we do the education and the enforcement side of it, the engineering side of it, you know, we're not technically involved in, even though we may be asked for some input. The things that they're trying and working on they're all steps to try and reduce those numbers and prevent that from happening. As a resident here for as long as I've been, you've been here much, much longer than I have. We know that it's not all on the driver either. It is also on the pedestrians to safely utilize what's being put in place.
Do you get as torqued as I do when there's a crosswalk and they're on the other side of the intersection trying to walk across?
I mean,
it's like, come on.
Yes. As a citizen driving through town, it makes it easier for me to safely drive through the city if the proper crossing is made at the proper location and we're all doing what we're supposed
to
do.
And the car stopping to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And you're
that can be just as dangerous.
You don't see them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There are a lot of dynamics to driving through the city here that with the multiple lanes and the crosswalks. And that's why I think some of these things are trying to be put in place to reduce those hazards. I don't think it's going to completely eliminate the problem, but it's a step in trying to find a balance between pedestrian safety and the safe travel of a vehicle through.
It would be interesting if there was baseline data for replaced bumpers.
The now bumper tracker.
With these bulb outs.
Yeah.
You don't see the broken glass, but you see little calling cards that are there. You know that there's got to be a whole lot more.
Yeah, just missed something there.
Yeah, yeah, because the roads weren't designed for that kind of stuff.
No.
Nice hands.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Out of context. Yes, I was recently manicured.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was one of the negotiated employee benefits, but congratulations.
No, that's a personal pampering that I had.
Oh,
there.
I see.
Look, you haven't lived till you had a pedicure and a manicure and been pampered.
Okay, well, congratulations.
What a way to end this.
Yeah,
thanks
yeah.
again for the time
that
leading
imagery.
Into this weekend. So,
hopefully you don't have an awful lot of activity going on, but I suspect
Me too.
You will.
Appreciate
see
it.
Everybody tomorrow.